This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary, sitting in for Neil Conan. As a bitter cold front hits the entire East Coast from Maine to Florida, attention turns to the homeless. Most cities try to rescue the homeless in times of extreme weather, but in cities where conditions are not so severe, another story is playing out. This past weekend, a group of volunteer lawyers filed a lawsuit on behalf of 9 homeless people against the San Diego police. They say the police have been issuing illegal lodging tickets this year on nights when social service agencies had no shelter beds available. They claim the police are violating the constitutional rights of homeless people. San Diego has 4,500 people who are homeless. We will spend the rest of this hour talking about how cities cope with homeless people sleeping in public places. We want to know what's happening where you live. Give us a call, 800-989-TALK. The email address, TOTN@NPR.org. Ronald Powell covers local government for the San Diego Union Tribune. He joins us now from his office in San Diego. Thanks for being with us.
Sure, Lynn. Nice to be here.
What led to this lawsuit?
Well, what actually led to it was the fact that there is a lot more homeless people sleeping out on the street than there are beds in shelters for them. Here, for instance, as they mentioned in the lawsuit, there's roughly 4,500 homeless people on the streets of San Diego on any given night, and there's only about 2,000 beds for them in shelters. So there's obviously a mismatch in the numbers, and these people have nowhere else to go but the streets.
How long have they been giving out these tickets? How long has this...
Oh, this has been going on for a couple of decades at least. This is a California law that lets the police use this as a tool to manage the homeless problem, as the police themselves say. And this is what they do.
So
get a complaint from somebody, then they go to that site, they say, and they either write them a ticket or they ask them to move along, and it's up to the officer's discretion as to what they do.
If it's been going on for more than a decade, why the lawsuit now?
I think that this has been a slow buildup of frustration on the part of homeless people and homeless advocates here in San Diego. And they've tried to work with the city to get more shelter beds. They've tried to work with the actual homeless providers to try to get more access to homeless beds and to shelter. And it just hasn't worked out. And one of the guys here, a guy by the name of Larry Milligan, went on a 19-day hunger strike in October to try to put a spotlight on this. And he's one of the moving parts, one of the actors behind this lawsuit. And he just thinks it is time now for somebody to really do something about it and to kind of take the heat off the homeless.
What's the constitutional issue here?
What the constitutional issue is one that's very simple. If you have a number of people who are homeless and they have nowhere to go, and you ticket them because they're out on the streets, you are ticketing them because of their status, which is unconstitutional. And that's the crux of this lawsuit, is that it is an unconstitutional move by the police against people who have no recourse.
Has the city or the police department, have they responded publicly to this lawsuit yet?
Yes, they have. And what the police say is that this is a tool they can use, and it's legal for them to do so. And it's one of the only ways they have to, as they say, manage the homeless problem. So if they get any kind of a citizen complaint from somebody that there are homeless people congregating somewhere, they will go out and they'll use this. They will exercise this power that they have.
And can you tell us anything about the 9 people who are bringing the suit?
Well, it's a kind of multiplicity of people. One of them is a person who used to actually work for the county many years ago. She's a woman who's 50-some years old. She has lupus, and she's also a victim of violence in the place where she used to live, domestic violence, and so she has a place to go. One is a Navy veteran. He's in his 30s. He says he has a pretty good education, but has fallen on hard times. He came in here to get a job, and the job fell through, and he's got no family, no place to go, so he's on the street. Just a number of different kinds of people, some old, some young, just a real cross-section.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Ronald.
Sure. It's my pleasure.
Ronald Powell covers local government for the San Diego Union Tribune. He joined us from his office in San Diego. Joining us now is Maria Foscarinas. She is the executive director of the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty, and she joins us from her office in Washington, D.C. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Lynn.
Now, is what's going on in San Diego, is that part of a trend?
Yes. Actually, what was described as happening in San Diego is kind of a microcosm of what's happening nationally in many cities, not all, but in many cities around the country. It's been going on for quite a number of years. Really, since the 90s, we've seen an escalation in the trend of cities responding to people living in their public places by simply making it a crime and enacting laws and enforcing laws to sweep people out of public places, using the police and arrest as a response to homelessness.
What alternatives are there for a city? A city like San Diego has 4,500 homeless people, not enough beds in the shelters, apparently. Should they be building more shelters? I mean, what are some of the solutions?
Well, ultimately, what they should be doing really is building more housing, more permanent housing. Shelters are important. They're not really the solution. They're a Band-Aid, a stopgap. They're better than being on the street. Certainly they're not enough in San Diego, and that also parallels the national trend. There's not enough shelter space, simple shelter space, for the homeless population nationally. But really, what we advocate and others advocate for is permanent housing and permanent affordable housing, so that we can really begin to solve this problem rather than just treat the symptoms. And on the house, as far as housing goes, there's not enough affordable housing for low-income people generally. In fact, there is a new release, a new report just released today that shows the that there's really a housing crisis in this country. And for an ordinary working person, certainly a person working at a minimum wage job, affording housing is virtually impossible in any part of this country. So when we look at people who are actually homeless, we see kind of the tip of what's really a much bigger housing problem. And to really solve this problem, we need to come to grips with the housing crisis. Cities can do this. Federal government needs to be involved, of course, but cities can adopt more constructive approaches to dealing with their homeless populations.
Okay, Maria, I'd like to bring another guest in now, if you can just hold on a moment. Maria Foscarinas, we're going to be joined now by Rob Hess. He's coming to us from his office in Philadelphia. Rob Hess is the Deputy Managing Director to the City of Philadelphia, and he's also known as Philadelphia's Homeless Czar. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
What did you do to earn that title?
Geez, I don't know.
Tell us about the homeless problem in Philadelphia.
Well, it's been a fascinating conversation so far, because what Maria said is very true. There is this kind of tendency to look at the homeless issue as a criminalization issue. What we found in Philadelphia is that's just the wrong approach. It doesn't work here. What we've adopted instead is a social service intervention strategy approach, where we really put a lot more resources into outreach on the streets, on providing housing. And again, Maria is right, and not just shelter, but permanent supportive housing that's affordable is critically important.
Let me ask you something. Did Philadelphia try the criminalizing approach?
Well, I think Philadelphia went through a process very much like what it sounds like is going on in San Diego now, where the public awareness ratchets up when there's some defining moment. In our case, it was a sidewalk behavioral ordinance being introduced at city council. But out of that public discussion or debate, which got very loud at times here in Philadelphia, and appropriately so, we ended up with a balance that really gave us a lot more resources to focus in on providing housing and supportive services and outreach that's been, I think, very effective. Our numbers on the streets of Philadelphia have gone down from a high of about 824 people living on the streets of Center City 5 years ago to less than 100 today.
Rob Hess is the Deputy Managing Director to the City of Philadelphia, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. So it sounds like you're saying it's kind of a combination of approaches is needed to deal with homelessness.
Well, I think that's true, but I think the biggest thing is the community has to come together and say, are we going to seriously address this problem in a way that makes sense? And the way that makes sense here is to provide housing as well as the appropriate level of supportive services to folks as the first strategy. And the quality of life issues are certainly a separate issue that has to be dealt with, but we prefer to take a social service approach as opposed to a criminalization approach.
All right, let's take a call now from Tom. He's in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call. Well, in Portland, we have a sanctioned spot called Dignity Village. We do have camping suites. Dignity Village isn't necessarily a permanent type of housing situation. It's basically sort of a transitional camping ground that is sanctioned by the city. They do have a cell phone out there so that people can have, like, resources so that they can get jobs and stuff. And I just, I guess my common question would kind of be, it's odd to me that, like, large cities have so much in the way of vacant building structures and real estate, period, that why they can't use some of it to take care of our homeless brothers and sisters, it's boggling to me.
All right, thanks for your call, Tom.
Thank you.
Rob Hess?
Well, I think Tom's right. I mean, one of the challenges that we face is with especially older cities and some crumbling infrastructure to be able to redevelop new housing that is affordable. And we're trying to do that faced with federal policies that aren't exactly in sync with us in some ways. For example, when you see cuts proposed in the HUD budget for subsidized housing, that's a real problem to us all over the country. And so these are huge challenges. But we here in Philadelphia, at least, are trying to take the minimum resources we have and direct them as a priority toward permanent housing.
Do you let people in Philadelphia, can people sleep on park benches? And if so, what happens to them?
Yes, they can. We're not going to violate people's rights. I will tell you that last night the temperature, I guess with the wind chill, dipped down close to zero. And we had what we call code blue. We had extra outreach teams and police out. We encouraged folks to come inside. If there was folks, and we checked and monitored other folks to make sure that they were safe. If it gets to the point where somebody is not safe, we have the ability to do involuntary commitments under certain circumstances and quarter transportation to shelter and other circumstances to do the best that we can to ensure that people don't die on our streets.
Maria Foscarinas, just to get you back in here, to that question, you do often hear that sometimes homeless people refuse to go to shelters, even if there are enough beds, and even on very cold nights sometimes.
Well, yeah, sometimes people do, and sometimes it has to do with legitimate concerns like safety issues, or oftentimes shelters have policies that require people to leave first thing in the morning. They're not able to leave their belongings there, and often people will make a quite rational choice that they'd rather, especially if there are no prospects for permanent housing in the near-term future, they'd rather be outdoors where they can maintain some sense of dignity or independence.
All right, let's see if we can get one more call in here. Tim in Milwaukee.
Hi, I'm. My point is, what are lawmakers thinking when they make an ordinance and they tell the police go out and ticket these people because now they're breaking the law? Well, if they could pay the ticket, they probably wouldn't be homeless. And isn't the point of a ticket to deter somebody from doing something, like a speeding ticket deters people from speeding? How do you deter somebody from being homeless? I mean, it's just so ridiculous that they would waste their time making these ordinances when they should be brainstorming ideas like Philly did to help these people and get them off the street. And it seems to me like they're taking an approach as these people are a nuisance. They need to be dealt with as such.
All right. Thanks for your call, Tim. It's a good point, and it's a criticism that is made about this approach. Is it not, Rob Hess?
Well, I don't think that it's a necessarily mean-spirited approach. I think people are seeking solutions wherever they think they can find them. I know, for example, I wasn't aware about this in San Diego, but I know that they have a homeless commission that's doing some planning, that's been going around the country looking at best practices, has in fact been to Philadelphia recently. And so I think that they will move, I hope, towards a thoughtful approach that works in their city. But I think the kind of the first reaction people tend to have is one that they use routinely in their community for other things. And maybe that's why they go down that road first.
Rob Hess, thanks so much for being with us.
Our pleasure.
Rob Hess is Deputy Managing Director to the City of Philadelphia. He joined us from his office in Philadelphia. And Maria Foscarinas, thanks to you as well.
Oh, thank you.
She's the Executive Director of the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty, and she joined us from her office in Washington, D.C. Neil Conan will be back tomorrow in Washington. I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.